Good morning, church. We're super excited to be here with you through the internet. But man, what about those seniors, right? Let's give it up for those guys. They've kind of had a hard go at this thing, and you know, it's kind of stinky. But you know, there's no words that are going to make that right. But man, I hope that today's message will challenge you in your faith. I hope that it'll challenge you, seniors, to kind of go for the Lord and run to the Father like that last song that we sang. But man, I'm going to challenge you today. The sermon title is called Show Me What You're Made Of. And you hear that a lot. You hear, you know, show me what you're made of, or show us what you're made of, and all the time when you do things. And so hopefully today we'll be challenged a little bit by the scriptures. But I'm telling you, you know, this quarantine deal has kind of got some people finding themselves or kind of discovering things about themselves that maybe they didn't know, or maybe, you know, you found some things that you used to love and you kind of gotten back into or whatever. But one of the things that has happened to me over this quarantine time is that I have really been into baking. I know that sounds kind of odd or whatever, but I love to cook just in general. And so baking is kind of one of these things that, you know, you start with a bunch of different things and then you end up with this beautiful creation. And that's kind of where I like to be. I like to paint walls. I love to see progress and things like that. I love to cut the grass and so on. So you get it. But, you know, when you're baking, things matter. When you're baking, you can't do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of, it doesn't work like that. It's very precise. It's very scientific. It's almost like a big chemistry experiment. And so some of the things that I've learned, I'm going to share with you in a minute, but you know, like ingredients have a purpose. Like you don't just, you know, put an egg in there and put a so-and-so in there. But there's reasons that those things kind of happen the way that they do. And the timing of those things happen and how you do those things, you know. And so if you don't put the right ingredients in, then the product doesn't turn out the way that you intended it to. You know, it may smell amazing, but it will look and taste completely different than what you're supposed to do. You know, so, you know, when you mix an ingredient the right way, you know, it's got a purpose behind it. You know, the order of that has a purpose. You know, you have to heat them. And then when the heat's applied, things react certain ways. And then there's like physical changes and chemical changes that happen within the cake or the whatever you're making, the cookies or whatnot, to make whatever you wanted to do. And so, you know, I want to share a couple of things I learned. So I learned that there's two different types of heat reactions. There's an endothermic reaction and there's an exothermic. And an exothermic reaction, this kind of sounds nerdy, but it's when heat is given off from something. And an endothermic reaction is when heat is needed for a reaction. And that's really important. That's going to come to play in what we're talking about. And so baking a cake specifically is an endothermic reaction. And so what if we don't put certain ingredients in, John? What happens if I put too much of this or too little of that? And I want to tell you. So if we baked a cake and we were sitting here mixing up, you know, Kevin made a little video a couple weeks ago about mixing eggs. And maybe you're going to go back and watch that. But let's say that we put no eggs in our cake. What would that do? Well, our cake would just be a soggy mess, right? See, because eggs have these proteins in them. And so when you take these proteins, they're important for the structure of the cake, right? And so you kind of whisk up your eggs. And what you're doing is you're breaking apart the proteins that are in the egg. And what happens is these proteins make a net, essentially, inside your cake. And what's going to happen is the net is going to catch air bubbles. And what happens is when you catch those air bubbles, it makes your cake really light and fluffy. And so when you heat those things, it makes those bonds even stronger. That net will be even stronger. So with the egg, your cake will get higher and lighter and fluffier. And it's kind of what we want. So let's say that we don't put baking powder into our cake mix. What's going to happen? Well, if we don't put baking powder in it, we're going to have a problem. Because see, the baking powder contains an alkali, which is sodium bicarbonate, right? And an acid. And we would put those in the oven, and it heats. The acid and the alkali react together to release water and carbon dioxide. And see, carbon dioxide is the thing that the bubbles make the cake rise. So if you don't have this baking powder in there, your cake is not going to rise. It's going to, you know, have a lack of a raising agent. Okay, so it's just going to kind of be really dense and not light and fluffy. And finally, what about butter? So butter's fat. You know, when I bake a cake, we use butter. Ain't nothing else in it, okay? You people can use whatever you want to, but we use butter when baking a cake. It makes it better, all right? So butter is the fat of the cake mix, all right? And so you have to have this fat, right? If you don't have it, it's going to make your cake really dry, okay? And so the butter and the fat that's in the butter, okay, it coats the proteins with the starch, making an oily layer. And so when it makes this oily layer, it helps prevent the forming of gluten. And so less fat means more gluten, which will give you a thicker kind of a cake, and we don't want that. When you want to eat cake, you want it to be moist and soft and light and fluffy and amazing and beautiful and all these things, right? So there's this process to baking a cake, right? And over time, people work this process to get to the perfect cake, and they follow that exactly. And see, spiritually speaking, there's a process. There's a specific process, right? And so becoming a Christian, you don't just wake up one morning and go, boom, I'm a Christian. Yeah, here I am. That's not what happens, right? You don't just wake up, all of a sudden you're a Christian, and you love perfectly, you forgive perfectly, you are patient perfectly. We all know that's not true, right? So there's a process to becoming a Christian, right? So you have to admit to God, right? You have to admit to God that you're a sinner. Repent and turn away from your sin, right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then there's the another one. It says you have to believe, right? So we have to believe that Jesus is God's one and only Son and accept his forgiveness of sins, right? And so that comes out of Romans 5:8. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And then finally, another step in this deal is that you've got to confess. You've got to confess your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord, right? Romans 10:9. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so we want this, we want you to know that that's the beginning steps of becoming a Christian. So following these steps, right? So you're not gonna wake up and just, boom, I'm a Christian. No, there's a process to that deal. Just like even after you've received Christ. And so now that all of you watching are saved, where there's, you know, everybody's good, we can kind of carry on, okay? Make sure that you write us a note, tell us how you got saved and all those fun things. So we want you to open your Bible to Colossians chapter 3. That's where we're going to be looking into the scriptures for a few minutes. We're going to read through the passage, and then what we're going to do is we're going to kind of chop that up a little bit. So if you'll follow along with me, I'm reading from the ESV version, Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on there then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father, we know that you are here, and we know that you are among this body of believers, Father. God, we pray that you would do your work. Father, that you would touch hearts, that chains would be broken, Father, that people would be forgiven, and that acceptance of you will be accepted today, Father. We know that there are people hurting that need you, and Father, we pray that they would find you, that they would run to you, of all people. Lord, we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as believers, we want to make sure that we are setting our minds on things above, not on things of the earth, right? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated. So we want to make sure that that's one of the things we're doing because our life is now hidden with Christ if we've truly accepted Jesus. So if you've truly accepted Christ into your life should be hidden with Christ. It should no longer be about you. It should no longer be about what you want, right? And so there's this kind of process that we have to go through as believers. And this is a hard process. It's a hard process of life of trying to learn this. And if we're really being honest, it's a lifelong process. And this process is called sanctification. And that's really just a word, a really big word for us to say that you're just being made more and more holy every day. But this process of sanctification is an ongoing deal every single day of your life, or at least it should be. Every single day of your life, growing closer to God. And so we walk through this process of sanctification because we've been justified. We were justified because of the work of Christ on the cross. You were declared right before God because of Jesus. It was not on your part at all. It was nothing that you did. It was all about Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. And so because we were justified, we're walking this road of sanctification, growing closer in our relationship with him every day. And hopefully one day we're looking for that moment where we will be glorified, right? Where we will be made perfect in Christ. We'll be made perfect like the way that God intended us to be in the beginning. Okay, and so we walk this road, we kind of do this deal, right? And we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing, but this road is so difficult, right? And so just like baking a cake, like it's very precise. It's very step-by-step oriented, right? And so there's necessary things that you have to do in a certain order that you have to do them. And like I said earlier, you can't just all of a sudden wake up and be a Christian. There's a certain process. And God puts us through certain processes to help us learn things about our life and to help us learn things about him and to help us learn why and how and all the great things about grace and forgiveness and his love and how he loves us. And so let's look at verses 5 through 11 together in your Bible. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And Paul begins to write down this whole list of things that you're supposed to get rid of, right? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, right? He skip down a little bit with me, and it says put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to each other, right? There's a whole list of things, a whole process of things that you're supposed to be getting rid of. Because the truth is, when you become a believer, you got that, you know, whenever it was. I became a believer at 16 years old. And so it took 16 years to get to that point in my life. And it wasn't just overnight that my life completely changed. It's a process. And there are things back from before I was a believer that I'm still dealing with today that as a believer, I'm walking that road of sanctification. And so it may be the same thing for you. Some of these things may be easy for you. Some of them may not be easy for you, but we're struggling through that and we're striving through that process of becoming more and more holy, right? Just like God has called us to do, right? And so we've all been there. Okay, no one is exempt from this because I love this part right here. It says, here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. And he's saying here, everybody's in the same boat here. We've all struggled the same way. So don't sit there and start poking at somebody for their sins. When you got a million sins of your own, maybe people just don't see them. Okay, so be warned, believer, to not do that, right? Watch out for getting the speck out of someone else's eye when you have a huge plank in your own eye. So we want to be careful there. But also we kind of want to continue because not only does he say, hey, take these things off, but he wants you to put these things on. He says, hey, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, right? If one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And he says, let the peace of Christ rule inside of you. Let the peace of Christ rule. The only way that we can let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts is if we've truly accepted Jesus as our Savior. If you didn't admit, believe, or confess to begin with, there's no way that Jesus can rule your hearts. You will allow other things to rule your hearts. You'll allow money, you'll allow faith, your family, you'll allow exercising and things like that. You'll allow other things to rule your hearts. But he's saying here, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And so we want to make sure that we're putting these things on, right? And we want to make sure that we're following after Jesus. We want to make sure that we're reading our Bible, and we're studying the scriptures, and that we're following in faith. And listen, I know you're sitting there saying, yeah, that's easy to say. Yeah, that's easy to say. I get it. You know what? Life is hard, John. Life's hard. I get it. Life is hard. So what do you do? So what do you do then when you put too much salt in the mix? Well, if it's baking, it's ruined. We call that runt if you're from Mississippi. We say that's runt, okay? But it's ruined. But thankfully, in life with Jesus, he makes all things new. And we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about the mess ups, because we know that over and over and over and over again, he's going to forgive us and he's going to love us. He's going to offer grace to us, even though we don't deserve it. Because it's a choice that we make. But the scriptures are clear that we need to be following Jesus. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And see, so when you want to put a little bit too much salt in there, you want to put a little bit too much of that or not enough of this in there, that your mind is automatically reminded of Jesus. That's what the Bible encourages us over and over and over again, to study the scriptures, to be in the word, to be in prayer often. So that we're reminded of Christ when he's moving. And when we are tempted to stray, that we're immediately reminded of his goodness and his faithfulness. And we don't have to worry about that, because Jesus offers grace of a Savior, an unconditional love that no matter how many times we put the wrong ingredients in, he will be there to forgive us. He will be there to make it better. He will be there to do exactly what he said he would do, and that's to love us regardless of who we are and what we've done. No matter how many times we struggle, no matter how many times we mess up, right? And so we hear it often. Show me what you're made of. Well, show me what you're made of. Well, in this instance, I would love to know what you're made of. I would love to know what you're made of. And this quarantine deal is kind of showing us a lot of what we're made of. Where is your faith? Are you strong in your faith? Or do you rely on other people for your faith? Are you reading your Bible? Are you studying the scriptures as the Bible calls us to? Are you spending time in worship and praise with him? Not in a church setting, but in a personal devotional setting. Because it says it right here. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, whatever you do, that's everything. Think about that for a minute. Whatever you do, wherever you are, wherever you go, whoever you talk to, your kids, your parents, your friends, your spouse, on the internet, not on the internet, I don't know, whatever it is, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. But we will not know what that's like. We will not know what it means to do things in the name of the Lord Jesus if we don't spend time in the word. If we don't get in the word and spend time with him, we'll never know what it's like. We'll never know what he wants from us. And so the challenge is that you would show us what you're made of. Spend some time doing what God wants you to do. Spend some time following through with him. So let me ask you some questions. How are you going to react when the heat is put on you? So in the cake mix, and when we do things, you know, heat makes proteins do different things, and heat makes salt and baking powder, all these kind of things do different things. And so in your own life, when the heat is on, how are you going to react? And I tell you, people will know a lot about who you are and what you believe in by the way that you react to certain circumstances. And the grace that you show, or the love that you show, or the lack of grace that you show, or the lack of compassion that you show, right? So how will you respond in the midst of that moment, right? How are you going to deal with when the heat is on? Are you going to allow God to rise up in your life just like when he arose from the grave? Are you going to allow him to rise up inside of your soul and to do the right thing and to follow after him? Or are you going to be allowed to have yourself flattened out and become this brick, gross, devilly scheme of whatever? Because I hope that you would allow Jesus to rise up in you and make this light, fluffy, amazing, beautiful cake that's inside of your soul. But if we don't do that, we are going to let the devil in. And when the devil comes in, let's just be honest, when the devil comes in, you know what happens. All bets are off. It's over. Everything changes when we allow the devil in, right? See, but God's plan for you is great, and we need to trust in his goodness in the middle of this, right? We need to trust his goodness. We need to trust that he is in control of all circumstances. We need to allow him to work in those moments that we're not sure of, but he is sure of. We need to make sure that we allow him to do that, to work in us and through us. Because the truth is, he is Lord of all situations. He's Lord of all things, right? See, you spent your whole life perfecting your job. You've spent your whole life, you know, training for your job and becoming perfect at your job and being really good at what you do. And there are a lot of people that take a lot of pride in that, and that's great, and that's a fantastic thing. But you've also spent your whole life perfecting your family and making sure that you know, your children respect you, and that your children respect your parents, and that you respect your parents, and that you're successful, and that you provide for your family the way that God wants you to provide. And you've perfected this deal. You've perfected your finances, some of us, right? I mean, some of us have perfected our finances. We work really hard. We got a budget. We're on the Dave Ramsey plan. No, 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 right? You've perfected your finances. Look, we got about $30,000 in the savings account, and that's not enough, okay? We got to figure this deal out. You've perfected your finances. You got a budget. You got the weight and time that you spend your bills and all this kind of stuff, or not. But most people, yeah, okay? We've got to allow it to move in these moments, right? But you've perfected your relationships. You've worked really hard at relationships. Some of you have gotten rid of relationships that aren't good for you. And you focused on relationships that do well for you, and that encourage you, and that bring joy to your life, right? So you've perfected relationships, and maybe you've perfected your exercising routine. I don't know. I haven't. Maybe you have. But you've perfected, like, oh, I go on a 5-mile run every day, John, no matter what happens. I will get my five-mile run in, and I will work out for 45 minutes so I can get that core going, you know. I get it. Great. You've perfected that. You've spent time doing that. Maybe you've spent time perfecting your diet. You know, we have reached ketosis, okay, or whatever you got going on. I get it. But see, you've spent all this time showing people what you're made of. You've spent all this time showing people what you're doing and how you can do it and how you can succeed and how amazing you are. Is that what we're supposed to do? Show people what we're made of? Because I want to say that we've probably spent more time perfecting ourselves than perfecting our relationship with Jesus. And that in this moment that see, he's worthy of more. He's worthy of more time than you spend on all those things. He's worth a minute more, an hour more. So however much time you put working towards your job, then you should put that much time plus some towards your relationship with Jesus. Because he is worthy of that. He's the one that sustains you. He's the one that gives you grace. He's the one that offers you life and freedom. But yet he's the one, and that relationship is the one that's the first thing to go. And that's sad. And that's in my own life as well. So I'm not you. It's us. It's we. This is our problem. And so we're going to have good days and we're going to have bad days, but we're all going to go through this. And we're all going to go through this, you know, all the way through. The bad days and the good days, they won't stop until the end. You know the end? The end is when Jesus takes me home or he comes back to get me. We're going to be dealing with this kind of stuff forever. This pandemic, it's not new to him. You know, I know you think that it is. Oh, good Lord, seriously. No, he is good and he knows and he did it. He knows. And this is the first time something like this has happened. And we're going to make it through. And so are you. You're going to overcome in these deals. So we all go through all this kind of stuff so that in the end, we can be made into this beautiful creation that God intended us to be made from in the beginning. See, like this beautiful cake that's right here. This is an amazing Miss Margaret is technically the name of this cake. It's a coffee toffee chocolate cake that Susan at Cottage Cafe made in Middletown, so go hit them up. But Susan put things together in this cake on purpose to create this cake the way that is supposed to be made. There are many cakes in this world, don't get me wrong, and this is just one of the many that she makes and other bakers makes and things like that, because there's so many cakes, right? And they, just like us, there's so many people in this world, right? And see, God makes you the way he made you on purpose. He made you with all of these things, and he put these specific things in order and the way that they were supposed to be so that you would be the way that you were made to be right now. He didn't make you out to be someone that you're not. He didn't make you and put all these things together to be something that you could never be. He created you with specific things for specific jobs for his will so that you will be and do exactly how he wants you to be and do. And that's exciting. That's exciting to know that he controls those things. So show us what you're made of. The band's going to come and we're going to close this time together. And so what's going to happen here is that our prayer for you is that you would be a believer, that you would become a redeemed believer in Jesus. But that even more than that, if you are a believer, that you would strive for excellence, that you would perfect your faith, that you would walk towards that. Now knowing that we will never be perfect in our faith here on this earth, but we can strive for perfection. We can strive to be the believer that Christ calls us to be. Because here in Colossians, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that's exciting for us. And if you're struggling on this day, our prayer is that you would run to the Father. Seniors, you got a rough road ahead. You got college coming up. You got all kinds of things going on. Run to the Father. Seek after him. You know, I like to eat cake. I like to bake cake. And I'm sure you do too. So in this circumstance, you can bake your cake and eat it too. Let's pray. Father, you are an awesome God, and you're able to do more than we could ever imagine. And Father, we pray for this time. We pray that people would choose to follow you. We pray that people would choose to seek after you. Father, we pray that you would inhabit our hearts. Father, that we would know what it's like to hide our life in you. Father, that so when people see us, they don't see us, they see you. Because you are the creator. And Father, we pray that we would strive to be what you created us to be. And that we would strive to bring honor and glory to you and your name. Father, we pray for this time and this season, Father. We pray that you would be Lord over that. God, we pray that you would be God. We love you. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.